produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what time zone you are tuning in. I just want you to know that you are in the right place. Welcome to the living room. This is a monthly radio broadcast, and I'm your host, Juliette Davis. We always say that the living room is the place where intimate conversations are life-changing. I hope you're having an amazing day, and today's episode will certainly deliver on my promise to empower and encourage, because I take that commitment very seriously. So today, our theme is Be the Change, because so often we sit back and complain and criticize about what's happening in our world, but we don't often enough take the time to do something about it. And so that's my theme for today, Be the Change. And my guest is perfectly suited for this topic. His name is Raymond Cotman. He's a native of Richmond, Virginia, and he's been singing in church since he was 4 years old. So he's a singer, a songwriter, author, a playwright, producer, and a director. And you're going to learn a lot more about him as we have our conversation. His motto is God ordains adversity. And so with that, I want to welcome to the living room, Raymond Cotman. Welcome, Raymond.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your platform. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to the conversation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, let's just jump right in. I had the privilege of scrolling on my Facebook thread, and I saw this platform on a Friday night where people were gathered together and they were praying. And they were not just, you know, offering up prayers about, you know, general issues. The topic was America. And they were praying for America. And I had to stop and just take it all in, because it was something that I hadn't seen before on this platform in that way. And so I want to start there. Tell me about America Pray.
Oh, wow. So America Pray originally was a response to the protest on the Capitol back in January. So the protest happened on January 6th, and I'm watching the television, and obviously the world was captivated by what was happening in America. And I was processing, what is my response? What do I do in this moment? I believe in the power of prayer. I believed in the power of prayer since I was a teenager. And that's a whole other story all by mm-hmm. itself. I'll say this. My father, when I was a child, he would go into his secret closet and he would pray. And for those that know my father is not a quiet man. He would be, and God, I need you to do it. You're right, so he was going in like that. Well, it just so happened, Pastor Juliet, that that closet he was in my bedroom. And it was before he went to work. And I would hear my father literally, and I can take you to the closet because they still live in the house. It's not a big closet. So I believe his feet were hanging out of the closet.
And, wow.
But I believe that was the seed of righteousness sown in my life, and he didn't realize it. And so I became a person of prayer in my teens. And I do believe in the power of prayer. And I know what prayer can do. Too many testimonies to even talk about today. And so I know that if the people of God come together and begin to pray with intensity and with fervency, mm-hmm. change has to happen. I'm one of those people who believe that if you are an intercessor, you are a shifter. That means when you pray, something is supposed to happen. And so I just believe that from my from where I sit, where I live in Richmond, Virginia, that if I pray to a holy God, that he'll change things in on the Capitol. He'll change things on Capitol Hill, our legislation, lawmakers, presidency, you name it. The body of Christ, he's able to do it because of who I am. And so anyway, that's kind of how it started. That Friday, I called a few people I knew would give me a yes real quick because I didn't have a lot of time to wait. And we mm-hmm. started praying. And the Lord said, you got to do it again. And so we've been doing it every Friday at 8 p.m. on Facebook Live. It's on a page that I manage called Let's Talk Faith that I started last year, sharing my journey of faith. I've been saved since I was 8, but, you know, again, totally separate story. I really began right. the journey of faith in 2019, and it's been incredible. So that's how it started. We've got worshipers coming up this week, and I'm so amped. Do you know every week I get excited about Friday night because I know that people mm-hmm. are coming together to pray, and they're not just going to pray. They are like they are seeking the throne of the Father, so I get really excited about it.
Wow. So tell me this. What do you hope or what is your – let me rephrase that. What is it that you are believing God to do as a result of setting aside this time and being obedient to what he is telling you to do regarding America Pray?
So, you know, I almost don't like quoting the scripture because it's quoted so often whenever there's chaos mm-hmm. or controversy in our country or wherever. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, God says, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sins. And so what I recognize is it is the church's responsibility. It is, or rather, it is our fault that our country is where it is. We have a responsibility in this, and we're divided. Politics, yes. agenda has divided the body of Christ, and I've been challenged even over the last, you know, 60 or some days. I've been challenged with saying the body of Christ is divided because, Pastor Julia, can you really divide what God puts together? Yeah, it's not really possible, but are we divided in views? Yes, and it creates
yes.
chaos.
Yes.
And so yes. What I do believe is this. If we come together in prayer and seek God consistently, that God will begin to change our hearts with one another so that God can eventually change the heart of a nation. Why would God change a nation when we're not together, right? So our hearts have to be aligned with one another and aligned with him so that he can then heal our land. So that's what I believe is, I'm believing for.
That's a tall order. I believe it's not too big, too great for God, but I can tell you that it is a tall order. And here's where I'm going with this. I see the polarization in the body. I see people who, you know, vehemently express their commitment one side or the other, and they don't have a whole lot of tolerance or give when it relates to hearing another side or even considering another side. And I see that passionately expressed, and I'm choosing my words, in terms of, you know, what the end result looks like. And so a lot of the people that you even saw on January 6th believed that they were doing God's work, and they actually prayed in the galley of the Capitol. That's how much they believe that their actions were in sync with God. And so my question to you is, as you have done this prayer since the Friday after the January 6th event, how do you engage people in prayer who don't agree?
Honestly, and I see it. The last month or so, I see it. Oh, my God. Well, God has spoken to me about America Pray, because I'm a person and I do have opinions, and I recognize mm-hmm. that about every one of us. We all have our opinions, whether it's influenced by the Word of God or by culture, we have opinions. And if anything, the last administration, presidential administration, has emboldened America to stand firm in what they believe. That's the one thing I do see from that administration. And so just as they are vehemently prone to their beliefs, so am I. So how do we move? How do we engage, right? God is saying to me, come together and pray. As we pray, God is changing. I speak for myself, and I think I shared it on when you were on last Friday. God mm-hmm. is changing my heart. He's changing my heart. Not to believe what they believe, but how to come together and how to see God's face. Some of the people that I invite on, and I do it intentionally, I know that mm-hmm. they don't believe what I believe. I've had conversations with some of them, and they've kind of bit my head off a little bit.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm like, this is what it's going to take. This is what it's going to take. Get your head bit off, both sides, so that God can begin to heal in the process. There's a lot that happens in the healing process. Things that get mended that you don't realize are getting mended. You know, whenever there's a break in the flesh, it's not just the top of the skin, but it goes down to the depth of the cut, the depth of the incision. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things that's being healed in the process, right? And so we have to learn, how do we get together? Because here's the reality. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be no, you know, one side over here, one side over there. We are there together. And if we're not there mm-hmm. together, we're not there. Everyone there is together. And so I recognize that it's only going to happen in prayer. God's mending our hearts in prayer. And I see it happening with me. And I do believe this, that there is going to be massive repentance in America.
Wow.
As we continue to pray. There are so many pockets of people who are praying. And it's really encouraging to me, because of the platform that I have, that I'm now hearing, I'm seeing it. It comes up on my feed, and I'm like, I'm in. And I don't always agree with what I'm hearing, but I'm in. Because it has to be our love for the Father, His Word, and what He wants. And, you know, one of the things I say, and sorry if you need to cut me off, feel free. It is the love. It's the love.
It is the love. It is the love. You said this, and so let me preempt you with this quote. Love who God loves the way God loves them. That's what you share with me when I ask you about how do you believe this is going to play out? How will we ever come together? Mm-hmm. And what is going to be the end result? And you said, we have to love who God loves the way God loves them. So
yeah,
talk to me
yeah.
about that.
So the last 4 weeks, well, 3 weeks ago, I began a series on the page. So America Pray is a Friday night platform on the page, Let's Talk Faith. And mm-hmm. So on Saturdays, I share the word. And so in February, I spent time dissecting the intercessor from the standpoint of Abram/Abraham. And what God showed me through the word is that you remember the story when the king of Chedorlaomer captured Sodom and Gomorrah. But in mm-hmm. the process, he also took captive Lot and his family and everything that he had. And they were taken. And when Abram heard this, the Bible says that Abram trained, he prepared his 318 servants who were trained in his house and born in his house to go and recover his brother Lot and his, and everything and all of his belongings. Well,
right.
In the process, Abram also recovered Sodom. Like, he recovered them and brought them out of bondage as well. Look, I really want to get into that whole series again, but but it goes to show that Abram had a heart not just for the people that God loved or the mm-hmm. people that he loved so close and so intimately, but for those who were captive. And then we see, you know, I believe it's chapter 18 where he actually pleads to God and says, God, if there's 45 righteous, will you not destroy mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah? If there's 30, if there's 25, if there's 20, if there's 10, mm-hmm. will you not mm-hmm. destroy it? Well, you and I know that God's judgment is final. What God says he's going to do, he's going to do. The fact that this man who knew the wickedness and the judgment pending Sodom and Gomorrah was fighting for them because he loved them. He wanted to see people, you know, saved. Like, I mean, salvation that we know today didn't exist at that time, but he wanted to see them not dying, but living. You know, perhaps
right.
there is a hope. And because of that, the Lord said to me, you have to love who God loves, and we have to love them like God loves them. Because if you go back into Scripture, God had a conversation with himself and said, should I tell Abraham the thing I'm getting ready to do in Sodom and Gomorrah? Right? Why would God have mm-hmm. that conversation? Because he was testing Abraham. And
mm-hmm.
the reality is God wants us to love who he loves like he loves them. And so it's been an encouragement to me because I'm realizing where I am faulty. And it only happens in prayer. It only happens
wow.
in intimacy with the Father.
See, now that's let's stop right there because that's huge, first of all. If you are just joining us, let me say this. You have tuned into The Living Room, and I am with my guest, Raymond Cotman, and we are talking about his prayer movement that is taking place on Facebook Live on Friday night at 8 o'clock. But we're really talking about the heart of God and what would he have us do in this hour when we see so much unrest, so much polarization, so much depravity, and then, you know, a pandemic that is literally raging in our country and in our world. And what would God have us to do? And so, yes, prayer is certainly at the forefront. But what we're talking about now is not the focus of the prayer. It's not that we expect immediately our world to change, although we know that is one of the things that can take place. But what I hear you saying, Raymond, is that this prayer is really about changing us.
Yes.
And when we are changed, then the world will change. Am I right about that?
Yes. And the reality, Pastor Juliet, is this might hurt somebody. a lot of Christians are lazy.
Mm.
We've been taught a gospel that it just happens like that, like just quick. And the reality is there is a process. God always establishes a process. And that process takes time. It takes time. When I hear Christians, and I'm telling you, you know, I've heard it on the prayer line, I've heard it in our, you know, in the media, people who are cursing Christians, other Christians, it's ungodly.
Yeah.
But what is it about God you understand that you literally think you have the power to curse? Now, for those that know me, and if you go back to my page, you'll see the first message I ministered on Let's Talk Faith was knowing how to curse. Because I believe mm-hmm. we as believers, it's a weapon we have in our arsenal. You need to know how to curse. But the mm-hmm. reality is not everybody knows how to curse. You curse no one. You ask God to curse. And even that is a process of time. So God says to us, be good to those who despitefully use you, meaning if it's not a one-time thing. If someone mistreats you today like you cursed them tonight, no, you do good to them. And if they smack you on the other side, see, it's a process of time. You turn the other cheek. You allow that to go on for a while before you even lift your voice to God to say, God, curse them. And the scripture that changed my life last year, this time, believe it or not, is Psalms chapter 109. I never read that scripture like I read it now. David curses his enemy, but he prays and he asks God to curse them. And one of the things that David says is they take my good and repay me with evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then he begins to curse them. I think it's around, he begins to pray and ask God to curse them. Now, the reality is David doesn't have the power to curse. Only, not people. You know, we can curse tricks and schemes of the enemy, spiritual things,
right.
But in terms of people, we're
people,
not authorized
right.
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to do good to them. And what I am seeing in our culture right now, it's part of the whole cancel culture, which I talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is really interesting. The body of Christ has taken on cancel culture. And I'm going to open up a whole nother can of worms, if you don't mind.
Tell me quickly what it is, because we are running out of time, which means I have to leave my listeners in suspense. So go ahead, tell me what cancel culture is.
Cancel culture, and I'll use this as an instance. When Christians tell homosexuals that they're not welcome, they're going to hell, and they call them all kinds of names, and they don't
mm-hmm.
allow them to join their churches, and they kick them out,
mm-hmm.
they don't spend the time with them, that's cancel culture. It has happened in the body
right.
of Christ,
and
we ignore it. But when the world starts to do it, we've taken it up, and we've made it a part of our world, but it is ungodly, and I'm going to stop right there.
Wow. Okay. So here's what I will say to my listeners. We have to end today's show, but I'm going to ask Raymond on the air, will you join us next month to pick up right where you left off? Because I don't want my listeners to be upset with me, and I believe they want to hear what else you have to say. These are topics that have been rendered taboo. And we don't deal with them quite the way we need to really, you know,
right.
look at it and look at what our actions and our words are doing. And so I want to pick right up where we left off and allow our listeners to hear the rest of this discussion. I want you to know that you all are eavesdropping, as I say, in my living room. And I am having a dynamic, insightful, provocative conversation with Raymond Cotman. And so, Raymond, real quick, tell us how we can find you so that we can follow up until our next show.
Absolutely. You can definitely join us every Friday on Facebook. We have not launched anywhere else like Instagram. It's something I am looking into doing. But we're right now on Facebook, and you can search for Let's Talk Faith. It's a Facebook page, and my picture will populate. I have on a purple or plum-colored suit, and it'll say, Let's Talk Faith. And what you do is you go on that page and you subscribe. You like it, you subscribe, so that when we go live, you'll get notified in your inbox that we're live.
Absolutely. Well, I want you to know that I am really excited about what God is doing in the midst of America Pray. And the next time we are together, we're going to talk about America Pray, but we are also going to talk about the creative ways that God has used you to express messages that are life-changing through your plays. And so, again, tune in next month. We will be with you again with our guest, Raymond Cotman, for part two of today's broadcast. You know, if you need to reach me, I can be found on Facebook at Juliet Davis or Juliet Davis Ministries, on Instagram under True_Journey. And so I look forward to hearing from you. You can also email me at destinyempower@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And so we are grateful for your time today. We pray that you've been encouraged and inspired and empowered, because that's what I believe this show is all about. We look forward to seeing you on next month. And until then, remember, the Word of God has transformation power. May His Word change your life forever.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.